for the opportunity to be involved with the gospel. And we declare, Lord, today that we are not ashamed. We're not ashamed to speak your words. We're not ashamed to evangelize people. We're not ashamed to let people know that you died for them. We're not ashamed to let people know that Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life. We're not ashamed to let the world know that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We're not ashamed, O God, to be called your children. We're not ashamed to be Christians. We're not ashamed to be members of this church. We're not ashamed to go to church regularly on Sunday morning. We are not ashamed because of what it means that you have given us eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we pray, Lord, that we will live up to it. May we live like people who are not ashamed, in the name of Jesus. We pray today, Lord, that you will visit us again and anoint the preaching, teaching, and sharing of your word, as well as hearing and understanding your word, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the name of Jesus. Oh, yeah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, clap for them, and you may take your seats. God bless you for... You know, we have a lot of talented people in this church. I mean, the dance, that was something else. So, Annie, what were you going to do with all that if you didn't know the Lord? What were you going to do with all that dancing gift? I mean, if you didn't know the Lord, you'd be dancing in a club or something. You'll be in the club. Wow. Oh, my Lord. Thank God. And the musicians, too. I mean, that, the music is fantastic. Amen. Well, we're grateful to the Lord. Hallelujah. We need to take some of this good stuff out there. What do you think? Yeah, I think we should start having church in the streets. Wow. Yeah, in the parks and in places so we can share some of what the Lord has given us. Amen. Right. So I was not here last Sunday because I was away. But I'm blessed to be back. Amen. Yeah. And while I've been gone, I've been to quite a few places and I've been doing the same thing, which is just preaching and preaching and preaching. Amen. Amen. And it's a blessing. Amen. You know, it's a blessing to be invited somewhere to preach. Oh, yeah. I really do think so. So I'm back now, and I'm just trying to wrap up my messages on the little red book demons and how to deal with them. Amen. So today I want to share with you from chapter 18. Right. I mean, I think I shared with you from chapter 19 already, but I just want to take a step back, go to chapter 18. Chapter 19 is where we learned a number of things. One of them is, you know, let me just show you something real quick. In Luke chapter 8 and verse 27. Luke chapter 8 and verse 27. It says, and can you bring the verse, please? See, as soon as I start mentioning the verse, you start typing. Do you get it? So that by the time I'm finished, it's right on the screen. Okay? So when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. Amen. So right here we can see three common effects of long-term demonic influence.
Wow.
Isn't it?
Wow.
That when someone's life is influenced by demons, you know, for a long time, one of them is it affects how they dress, isn't it? Another one is they cannot abide in any house, you know. Now, that's one of the things that caught my attention over the last few days, because how that demons make people unable to commit to any house. Now, a church is a kind of a house. See, notice how it says any house means there are types of houses. Do you see what I'm saying? So the house, your home, your family is a type of house. But your church also is a type of house. That is called the house of God. Amen. And so demons, when you see someone who cannot abide in any house, who cannot be committed, who cannot be settled in a house, who cannot be consistent, you know, or who cannot consistently belong to a house, it's a sign that they are under the influence of evil spirits. Amen. And just being aware of it begins your deliverance. Do you understand?
Amen.
Just knowing that feeling, I don't want to go to church today. I don't want to go to church anymore. I don't want to go to this church anymore. You know, even moving from church to church to church to church. You see, it feels okay because you still feel like you're in church. Do you understand? But every time you relocate yourself, you know, what you do is you reset yourself. Do you understand? Sometimes when you've been with a pastor who is like changing doctors, do you understand? There's a reason why you keep a certain doctor, because he's familiar with your history. Do you understand? Yeah. Sometimes some people even change churches because, you know, they're going to a level of complication. They don't want or like what their pastor is saying. And so they just change to a new pastor who will buy some time before he gets that far into their business. Are you following what I'm saying? And by the time that pastor gets that far into their business, the business is already there. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So we need to be aware of these things. Hallelujah. That evil spirits work on making us restless and incapable of being committed and settled in the house where God has planted us. Hallelujah. But we are defeating them by knowing about them.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. Say amen.
Amen.
And then another thing is said, and he dwelt in no house but in the tombs, isn't it? Which is a place of silence, you know, which is a place of loneliness and solitude, you know, just being by yourself, you know, always alone, has no friend, fights all friends, you know, or resists friendship by acting unfriendly. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. Just to drive away people from your life. So you're mostly alone. Do you understand? Now, when you're mostly alone, it means you're mostly vulnerable. The Bible says, woe to him that is alone. That when you're alone, when you're a loner, you're living on the woe side. Do you see what I'm saying? It is woe. You know, there are so many things. Blessed is he. You know, blessed is he, or blessed is the man. The opposite of that is woe to him. Do you understand? Yeah, woe to him. So when you are alone, you are actually living life on the woe side, which is the negative side. Do you see? It is the side where bad things happen. It is the side where terrible things happen to people. And the Bible says when people are alone, they are living in a war. Amen. So try not to be a loner.
Amen.
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 You may have been hurt before, but it doesn't mean that all people will hurt you. Do you understand? Sometimes when people have been hurt before, they sort of withdraw and they try to keep to themselves because they don't want to be hurt again. But it is still not a good alternative to having friends. Do you understand? Yes. Somebody may have hurt you. Perhaps multiple people may have hurt you. But you're still better off with people. Amen. You're still better off with people. God never meant for us to be alone. That's why there's no one who doesn't have any family. Everybody has a relative. Isn't it? Everybody has a relative. Everybody has a relative. Look at this verse. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 9. From verse 9. Says, two are better than one. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. Can you see that? But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Do you see? Yeah. Then he says, again, if two lie together, then they have heat. Do you see? Yeah, they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? If one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. Did you see that? If one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And don't even try it when they are three. That's what he's saying there. That a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Hallelujah. So, leave me alone is usually a demonic thought. Do you understand? No one should get into my business. No one should talk about me. No one should talk to me. Leave me alone is not a good thing. Hallelujah. You need people in your business. See, if these people here were minding their own business, then when one, you see, look at the part of the verse 12. When one prevailed against him, two, the second person didn't have to join. You just leave him alone to mind his business. Do you understand? And of course, the third person is not coming along because we're leaving him alone to mind his business. That means this person will stay defeated. Do you see? Yeah, he will stay defeated. And if, he says, if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone. When he falleth, that's his end. Do you see? When he falleth, that's his end. And it looks like he has no future. It looks like he's done for. And yet, that was somebody who could have had someone to help him up. See, a lot of falling is not the end of everything. Do you understand? As a matter of fact, the Bible says for a righteous man, you can expect to fall 7 times. So one fall is not the end of the game at all. 2 falls don't end the game. 3 falls not end. They don't end the game. Even up to 7 times, the Bible says you get up and probably start another series of 7. Do you see what I'm saying? So falling is not the end of it. But falling ends it for people who are alone. Do you see? It ends it for some people. So there are a lot of people who have failed. A lot of people who have not done well. A lot of people who are not doing well. And it looks like they were destined not to do well. But it's simply that they do not have certain people in their lives. Do you see what I'm saying? They do not have certain people in their lives. I tell you, who you have in your life makes a huge difference to who you become in life. Do you understand? Who you have in your life will make a huge difference. See, the disciples went on a boat and they hit a storm. But one of the passengers in the boat was Christ. It made a huge difference in the outcome. Do you see what I'm saying? It made a huge difference in the outcome. They were as frightened as anybody in that experience could be frightened. They were as scared. Even when they saw Christ, I tell you, I mean, you see, here's the thing. You need to understand that a lot of things that happen to people are just common. The Bible says there is no temptation that has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. Wow. Do you understand? Wow. Yeah, so when you see something that has flawed someone, it is common to man. Do you understand? Yeah, more than likely, what you're experiencing is happening to many other people. Yeah. And not everyone is succumbing to it. Hallelujah. But the people in your life, you just think about it in the natural sense and think about the role of people or the role people have played in your life. Think about it. You had to be taught ABCs by someone. You had to be taught how to add by someone. And to get to be able to learn how to add and subtract, someone had to take you to that place. Wow. Do you see what I'm saying? And someone had to be there waiting for you. Someone had to cook for you. Someone had to do... You see, the whole of life is just about people doing things for you. Do you understand? Look, the whole system of employment and work is all about doing things for people. Everybody is doing something for someone. Do you understand? Everybody is making an input into another person's life and lives off what they get from their input into somebody's life. That's how we live. So could that not be the spiritual parallel then? Could it not be true that really, I mean, God has set up life such that you actually live off what you get from what the input you make into other people's lives? Then it means that the input that others make into your life also is very important. Do you see what I'm saying? You need that. You need people speaking into your life. You need people talking into your life. You need people advising you. You need people counseling you. You need people sharing with you, teaching you, showing you what to do, showing you how to do what even you have decided to do. Because just because you have decided to do it doesn't mean you know exactly what to do. Do you see what I'm saying? So God wants us to know this morning that living a life of solitude is not his plan. It is never a good thing. Rather, where brethren dwell together in unity. Do you understand? That rather, the Bible says, there the Lord commands a blessing. His blessing is on that. Amen. So we have to be careful with excessive privacy. Do you see what I'm saying? And, you know, I mean, and unnecessary secrecy. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, unnecessary secrecy. I mean, even trying to hide what's obvious. Do you understand? Yeah, trying to hide what's obvious, it doesn't help you. Amen. It doesn't help you. How many times have you not thrown something away only to find out a few days later that someone actually could have used that? And you just say, oh, I just threw one away, or I just did that, I just sold it, or I just did this. You know, if somebody would talk a bit more, they just might be helped. Do you see? But many times our pride, you know, and our acute need to project a sense of self-sufficiency. Do you see? To pretend that we are okay all by ourselves. We're able to buy our own food. We're able to buy our own gas. We will drive and fix our own cars. You know, we don't need anyone to do anything. It looks like when you feel like you don't need anyone, you know, to do anything for you, then it feels like you have arrived. But that's never true. There's no one who says, I don't need anyone to do anything. How are you going to survive? Because first of all, you don't get an income. An income means it didn't come from you. It means it came from somewhere. Do you see what I'm saying? It's an income. Do you understand? And for you to have an income, you have to do something for someone. So if you don't do anything for anyone, you don't get anything coming in. So there is no such thing as self-sufficiency. Do you see what I'm saying? The true definition of self-sufficiency must be that you get an income from doing things for yourself. You hear somebody who says, I work for myself. Really? Do you think there's anyone who really works for himself? You find someone who works for himself. What do you do for yourself? When people say they work for themselves, they really simply mean that they work for somebody else. They do something for somebody else. There is nobody who truly works for himself. Everybody works for someone. Yeah. I mean, everybody works for someone. If you're a doctor, I mean, you need my sickness is your blessing. Yeah. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. No matter what you do, I mean, if you drive a taxi cab or whatever, you need me to want to go somewhere. If I change my mind, you're done for. Do you see what I'm saying? If I say I'm not going anymore, you're done for. You're probably not going to eat because I'm not going. Do you see what I'm saying? So we must understand how the world works. Do you see what I'm saying? And to be able to recognize very easily, you know, the works of the devil when it's playing out. One of them is just wanting to be alone and just wanting to keep to yourself. The Bible says a person that has friends must show himself friendly. That's Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 24. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. Do you understand? A man that has friends must show himself friendly. If you are blessed to have friends, it says you have to show yourself friendly. You have to remain friendly, friendable, if you like. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, a man that has friends must be good at things that maintain friendship. That is what he's saying. And he's saying that that is good because within friendship, you can find a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Hallelujah. Yeah, a friend that sticks closer than a brother. I tell you, someone whom you have not known from anywhere that you have no relations with can be of greater benefit to you than someone born with you in the same house. Yes, you will be amazed that there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. There is such a friend. There is such a friend. There is such a friend. There is someone who can be a great blessing to your life. There is someone that can share with you, someone who can understand you, someone who can relate with you, someone who has time for you, someone who can talk with you, someone who is willing to lay down their lives literally for you, lay down their lives for you. And that person is usually a friend. But to keep them, you have to show yourself friendly. You have to be friendable. What do you think? Yeah, but there are many of us, you know, perhaps trained by Facebook, who are good at unfriending people. Do you understand? Yeah.
Wow,
you see, modern social media is teaching us all these new tricks. You can befriend people, you can unfriend people. You can like people, you can unlike them, you can block people. I mean, you can do just about anything to a friend these days. Yeah, I don't want you to see my photos, I block you. Yeah, you get it? I block you, I block your calls, I block your text messages, I block your everything. And you see, and when you block to you, it means there is no income. There is no income. And I tell you, if you don't have income, you still don't have any outgo. You understand? Yeah, you see, you soon cannot afford anything because you don't have anything that comes to you. Because what you give out is what you receive. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you, you know, from this verse, you know, that it is demons that make people try to live by themselves and try to not want to be involved with other people. Hallelujah. And sometimes, you see, one of the things that makes for friendliness is forgiveness. Do you understand? Forgiveness. If you want to have one of the elements of friendliness, it says a man that has friends must show himself friendly. One of the elements of friendliness is that you forgive. Hallelujah. Forgiveness is the price you have to pay to keep me as your friend. Not that I'll never offend you, but that when I do offend you, you're willing to forgive me. That's a cost to you. Do you see what I'm saying? And anytime you refuse to pay that price, the friendship just ends. You get it? The bill for every friendship is forgiveness. That's the bill. Do you understand? It doesn't come at any sort of predetermined time. It's irregular. Do you get it? The bill shows up. You know, some bills come monthly. Every month you expect it. Yeah, but this bill just shows up whenever. Do you understand? And when you have a friend that you want to keep as a friend, you have to learn to forgive them. You have to learn to cut them loose. You have to forgive them. Hallelujah. Even when you fight, you have to learn how to have friendly fights. Do you see what I'm saying? There are such things as friendly fights. You fight, there's nothing at stake. We are just friends fighting. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, but we don't sacrifice the friendship because of the fight. But we continue to relate and we continue to relate. Then another thing about friendship is that, see, friendship also has to last long enough to yield what it's supposed to yield. Do you see what I'm saying? Friendship, when it's new, does not yield much. Even sometimes when you meet someone for the first time, you are wary of bringing them to your house. Yeah. Is it not true? Yeah. You don't even want them to know where you live because it's untested and you don't know the person. But you did like and enjoy the person tonight, but that doesn't mean you want them to know where you live yet. Do you see what I'm saying? Over a period of friendship, trust is built. Do you see? And when the trust is built and developed, then
you can now take the friendship to another level. Do you see? So we need long-lasting friendships to get the maximum benefit out of them. Amen. The best relationships are long-term relationships. The best friendships are long-term friendships. People you have known for a long time. Do you see? People you've known for 10 years. People you've known for 20 years. People you've known for 30 years. I mean, when I think about some of the pastors and the bishops in the church, I realize I've known many of them for like 30 years. I mean, 30 years, same, same, same. Do you see what I'm saying? That's the sort of thing that we must have. It shouldn't be that our lives are full of new friends. Everybody's just new. What happened to all the old people? Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. But God gives us people to be in our lives and to be in our lives for a long time. And I believe that as we continue to keep those friendships, God will manifest what he put those people in our lives to do. Say amen. Amen. All right. So that was just a bonus part of the message. And but I think that we're already blessed. We can even close now. You see? Do you still want me to tell you something about what I was going to say today? All right. I'll do that in just 10 minutes. I'm just going to read this chapter with you and we'll close. Is that okay? All right. So demons cause physical changes in people. Okay. Demons cause physical changes in human beings. Right? Mark chapter 5 and verse 4. It says, Mark chapter 5 and verse 4, about the madman. All right. It says, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. Now go back to verse 1 so we can connect it to the context properly. He says, as they came over to the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes, verse 2, and when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Verse 3, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Verse 4, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. Hallelujah. Amen. Right. So right there, you can see that it seems that the effect of evil spirits on this man is that the demons had given him extra physical capacity. Wow. Isn't it? They had given him extra physical strength to be able to do what normal people cannot do. Yeah. There must be a reason why they try to restrain him with chains, because chains usually restrain people. Yeah. Isn't it? Yeah. There's a reason why police put handcuffs on people. Yeah. Because handcuffs can significantly incapacitate people. When you tie a person's hands together with, you know, metal and put them behind him, you know, there's very little he can do. He cannot even run properly. Because did you know that when you're running, you need this to help you? You know, it's not for nothing that people do this. Yeah. You see what I'm saying? To just run with stiff hands is like to sit on a bicycle and refuse to pedal it. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. That's how it is. You cannot run very well. So once they get the people like that, it becomes very, very difficult for them to do anything that cannot be overcome. So there must be a reason why they put chains on this man, which obviously must have been that they felt that the chains should be able to keep the man. isn't it? But it says they could not bind him. It never worked. And no human being could tame this guy.
Wow.
Nobody could do it. Because he was apparently stronger than anybody. When they put him in chains, he would just pluck the chains, which is simply just pull them off. He would just pluck them like that. I mean, when your biggest chain and you just put them off. Do you understand? You see, one of the revelations in that little part is you need to watch out also for people who teach you how to break rules that are intended to contain you. Do you follow what I'm saying? Yeah, that's a form of plucking the chains. Something that has been set in place to restrain you. Then you find people who teach you how to do exactly what they're trying to prevent you from doing, you know, and how to do it without getting caught. Amen. Amen. Such people are inspired by evil spirits. Someone who comes to suggest to you something different from the instruction that has been given to you. That's what happened in the Garden of Eden, where they had a visitor who came in to say, what did they say you couldn't do? They say you can't eat this tree. Come on. You will not surely die. I mean, you can't be serious. I mean, that God didn't literally mean that you would die. I mean, rather, the reality is that if you do this, you will have a wisdom, you know, that will make you like God. That's the whole point. You see, so a bar that has been placed before someone to keep him from going or extending himself to a certain place, that bar is just lowered by your encounter with such a person. Do you understand? And there are a lot of people like that. People in school, you know, students, fellow students, friends, and so on, who, you know, talk to you, and sometimes they invite you to do something, and they can see that you have a restraint on you, at least a mental restraint sometimes from your upbringing. You don't do this, you know. Oh, but you don't have to let your parents know all the time what you're doing. Or you can do this. Or you can take your phone and just turn location services off. They won't know where you are. You see, those are demons teaching you to pluck the chains asunder. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah, you can just take your phone and turn this off. Or you can, you know, well, I'm going to send you a message. You just read it and delete it after. They won't know that I sent you such a message. They'll never know that you've seen such a photo. You know, it's demons accessing your life and showing you how to pluck the chains that have been placed on your life by your upbringing, by your training, by the home from which you come and from which you belong. I mean, they are just trying to set you loose and make you into a wild animal instead of something or someone who can be controlled and who can be restrained. Hallelujah. Right? So he would pluck the chains asunder. And he says the fetters, he would break them in pieces. He would just take them, break the things in pieces. Who breaks chains in pieces with his bare hands? So demons give people extra capacity in their body for doing things, right? Now look at this other example in Acts chapter 19 and verse 14. Acts chapter 19 and from verse 14. It says there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirits answered and said, you know, basically these guys were trying to cast out some evil spirits from a certain man, right? They had found this man who had all these demons in him, and they had seen Paul cast out devils, and so when they saw this man, they decided to give it a try, right? And so the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know and Paul I know. So I respect these guys. Because when the guys met the demons, they said, we want to cast you out in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches. Do you understand? Because they had seen Paul casting out the devils in the name of Jesus. You know, and they were not sure which of the two were working, whether it's the name of Jesus or the Paul. They decided to combine the two. so that in case it's not one, it will be the other. Either way, you are coming out. Right. So they said, we will cast you out in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches. Do you get it? Then the demons are like, ah, who is this guy? Do you see? So they said, Jesus, the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know. But who are ye? Do you see? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. I told you, evil spirits like to take people's clothes off. So once they overcame him, one of the first things they did to him was take his clothes off. Seven brothers could not restrain one man. I mean, even if the prayers are not working, at a point we can put the prayers aside and let's just get on physically. I mean, seven of us and you, we are casting out the devil. He won't come out. At least we can beat you up. You see what I'm saying? When we beat you up enough and you become sober, then we continue the prayer to see if it will work at this point. But that's not what happened. You know, the man turned on them. He says, he leaped on them and overcame them. Do you see? Then he prevailed against them, and then they fled out of that house naked and wounded. I pray that an evil spirit doesn't get hold of you. You will have victory over every such spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. I tell you, when the demon gets you, the first thing we'd like to do is to take off your clothes. I think if you meet a man who wants to take off your clothes first time he meets you, I think it's one of the signs that you've met a demon. Yeah, you tell the person, look, I can show you two times and two places in the Bible where evil spirits make people take off clothes. You know, in one of the cardinal signs of evil spirit, they make people like to take off their clothes. And here's one of them. You want to do the same tonight. I want you to know there's demons in you. And I'm going to start casting them out now if you don't let me go. Hallelujah. Do you understand what I'm sharing with you today? So you can see again, how does one person, because that's why police officers at best just move in pairs, isn't it? You don't send so many police officers to just overcome one man. Of course, if the person is armed, it's a different story. But if he's not armed, one man, I mean, they will just send two police officers and he should be sorted out. Brother Paul, isn't it? I hear you were in the prison the other day. Eish. How many sheriffs are looking after all those plenty prisoners?
There was a lot of sheriffs, and apostles too. One of the things that they stressed on the most, and they told us, is that you have to learn how to fight. They said that if you're going to do this job, and if you've never been in a fight before, then withdraw your application. Because they said that if you can't fight, then you're not ready, because no one would like to work with you.
So. Daniel, do you have a job at your office for Paul? Wow. Do you see? So I'm just trying to put... I'm trying to point out the fact that it is abnormal for one person to beat up seven men like that and take off all their clothes. You come give me your clothes. Okay, then next, Pastor Charles, give me your clothes. Then Frank, your clothes. Then Boo Boo, give me your clothes. Then Daniel, how many do we have? Four. Four. Then we add Paul, of course. Then, Lord, seven guys, none of them could resist handing over his clothes. And they were all wounded. Wow. It's an evil spirit in someone.
Do you understand? So evil spirits, they cause physical changes in people. So when you see people, even sometimes things like an extra capacity to eat can be influenced by an evil spirit. Yeah. Because you're being given an extra capacity that a normal person must not have. Do you see? Extra appetite. Do you see? Even for what is harmful to you. Do you see? And you continue. And it makes sense. It makes sense. You know, sometimes, I mean, you think about what is the sense in the craving for, let's say, tobacco. Do you understand? What is the sense in it, or the craving for smoke, you know? And that strong craving that can make someone even restless. Do you see? But the evil spirits on a person do cause that physical change in a person that make the person now feel an acute necessity to take this thing at this time, or else you can't be at rest. The other day I saw in the news somebody had an electronic cigarette that exploded in his pocket. Did you see that? I mean, why do we have to get into electronic cigarettes? What I mean is, you have a cigarette that you need a USB thing to charge. That's how it's done. You have a cigarette and you need a USB cable, and then you charge it, and then when you feel like smoking, you draw on it, and I think it gives you the flavor or something of some sort. And you know, and that person had it in his pocket, and he entered a shop. Then as he was approaching the counter or something like that, thing just exploded in his pocket. And you just see it, just fire, boom, like that. Everybody was running away. So the other day when I was getting on the plane, I heard the lady announcing, if you have, they said they want to check people's, the carry-on luggage. And they said that if you have any electronic cigarettes, please take it out of there. Take it out of their carry-on bags, and because they don't want you to put it under the plane. They don't want you to put anything in the belly of the plane. Say, you bring it with you, it can explode in your pocket upstairs. We can handle that, but not anyway. So I think you can understand where we're going with this, right? Right? So from these two testimonies, we see that the presence of demons give unnatural human strength. One madman was able to beat up seven men. That is supernatural strength. The madman was able to break chains. It is not natural to be able to break chains with your bare hands. Even the weightlifting champions do not break chains with their bare hands. And that is true, isn't it? So it provides a very important revelation of the effect evil spirits have on our physical lives. Evil spirits want to inhabit a human body so that they can affect the person physically. You see, evil spirits need a body to express themselves. Without a body, you cannot know what a spirit can do. Do you see? Yeah. They need a body. They need to inhabit, just the same way a human being will wear a pair of gloves to do something. The evil spirit has to wear something. He needs to wear. Our bodies are what evil spirits would like to wear. Even an animal's body is okay. If I can just be in a body, then I can express myself. Do you see? You can never see the spirit of anger except you see rage in a person. You see, it's a human being that has the ability to show. It's like even when you look at your phone, your emojis and so on, you see the faces they make. You see, you can just look at the face and you know this is anger. You know, so you recognize what it is by the look on the face. So you need a face to express what the demon is. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So you can see even your phone, you can just show somebody a picture and knows that's anger. You see another picture and say that's sadness. That's another one. That's laughter. And you just keep showing. So evil spirits that cause all these different things need a manifestation, something that can rearrange itself to express what that spirit actually stands for or represents. Hallelujah. Right. Now listen to this. It says, you know, I read two powerful testimonies from one of Kenny Hagin's books, which illustrate this principle perfectly. In one of them, a 23-year-old woman suffering from cancer of the lungs was healed when the demon was cast away. She had been brought to a meeting that Reverend Hagin was holding in a certain town to be prayed for. As Kenneth Hagin laid hands on her, he suddenly was enveloped in a glory cloud, and he saw a little creature which looked like a monkey hanging onto a tree limb on the outside of the woman's body. Right? This monkey-like creature was holding onto the woman's left lung where the cancer had started. Reverend Hagin commanded the demon to leave, but it refused to go. Then Kenneth Hagin commanded it to leave in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it fell off the lady's body. It whimpered and whined and shook like a bitten pup. Then Kenneth Hagin commanded it to leave the premises, and he saw this creature run out of the aisle and walk out of the door. This lady was completely healed afterwards. That same week, she went to see the doctors, and they told her that her lungs had been completely healed and marveled, asking her how it happened. In the second testimony, a pastor's wife with cancer of the breast was healed as an evil spirit came out of her. The cancer had started in the lady's left breast and had spread to her lymph glands. By the time she got to the doctor, it was too late and they could not do anything for her. Kenneth Hagin went with his wife and another pastor to pray for her. They continued praying for this lady for 2 days and two nights. Suddenly, the Holy Spirit told them to go and stand at the head of the bed and command the spirit of doubt and fear to leave. The moment Kenneth Hagin did that, he saw a great black bat, twice as big as a man's hand, just rise up from that dying woman's left breast and fly out of the window. The woman instantly rose up, completely healed. She praised God and danced all over her house. She was totally delivered and set free. Hallelujah. Is it not amazing how the presence of a demon can cause cancer? Wow. Is it not amazing? Right. Now look at this passage in the scripture. Mark chapter 9 and from verse 17. Let's read that long passage and we can probably just close with that. Amen. It says, one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. Can you see that? Now, this is the father of the child telling Jesus Christ what is happening to his son, isn't it? The son has all the symptoms that go with someone who has epilepsy, isn't it? But this father seemed to have some spiritual understanding. Amen. So when he came to Jesus Christ, he was able to tell that my son, even though he's my son, he has an evil spirit. Because that's also another thing that sometimes because someone is your child or your husband or your wife or, you know, it's you don't even want to acknowledge what it is. But you notice that in dealing with evil spirits, one of the first things you have to do is to define what you're dealing with. That is why Jesus asked the man, this same man we've been reading about in Mark chapter 5, what is thy name? And the guy said, my name is Legion. I mean, I don't even want to tell you which type we are. He said, Legion means we are many. So which of the names are you asking for? Do you understand? So I'd rather just tell you that we're Legion. We're just plenty. A lot of us here. Do you see what I'm saying? Later when they go out, we realize there are as many as 2,000 or so of them. Do you see? So if he had started my name, he would have had to mention 2,000 names. We didn't go now. Hallelujah. So it's good to recognize something, and you should be able to recognize, as we're learning all these things, you'll be able to recognize a pattern. Do you see? Even in a loved one, and say, look, this thing is an evil spirit. It's a demon. This is a demon. And I tell you that
Don't be afraid to identify something as a demon, because the problem is not that demons do have power over us. The power of demons is in the ability to hide from your recognition. But as for recognition, once you identify a demon, the power to deal with them is in our hands. Do you understand? Like anybody who has a can of mosquito spray has more than enough power to deal with any mosquito that shows up in your house. So the mosquito's power, the reason why mosquitoes are still able to bite you is not because you don't have the can. It's because they are good at hiding from you. Are you following what I'm saying? Mosquitoes are good at hiding from you. They'll bite you where you're not looking. Do you see? You rarely see a mosquito trying to bite your nose. I don't know how mosquitoes choose any part of you but your nose. Have you seen any mosquito trying to get your eyes? So they probably know a bit about us. Which part of us sees? Even mosquitoes don't like your fingers. But when you sit down, where your feet go under the chair or the table, that's where mosquitoes like. Because that's where there's darkness. It's hard for you to see them. You can't recognize them. Or they bite you when you're asleep. I think they have some intelligence. Do you see what I'm saying? So you see the can of mosquito spray sitting right next to you, but mosquitoes are biting you all over because you can't see them when they're acting. That is why an ability to recognize or identify this problem is a demonic problem. It's paramount. You need to do that to be able to start having victory over demons. Can I have an amen? But once you recognize a trend as demonic, the rest of it is easy. Because you are able to say, you, this foul spirit that is behind this, I come against you in the name of Jesus Christ, and begin to address that spirit and be persistent and insistent, because demons are also persistent. They'll try to resist, but you apply that power because that is the solution, and they know that they must bow at the mention of the name of Jesus. And they will go. They will go. They will go. You see that spirit that left the woman in Papa Hagen's story? Yeah. See, when the spirit left the person, the spirit even first wouldn't want to go. He said, I command you in the name of Jesus to leave. Then he drops off and is still in the room. Yeah. You have to command him to get out of the place. And he has no choice but to go. But the thing is that demons like to try to know, test you to know, in case you don't know how much power you have, which is the main problem with Christians. That is why one of the main problems, or one of the main strategies of demons is to keep Christians out of the word. Yeah. So you have Christians who don't read their Bibles, because that's where you understand the scope of your authority. Yeah. That's where you understand how much power you have. So to keep you out of the word is to keep you out of the knowledge of how much power you have. So you tell him to get out and he's there. You say, get out, he's there. Then you start to wonder whether you even have power to be saying what you are saying. You see what I'm saying? And if you give up, he's going to remain there and strengthen himself even more. Yeah. But if you are persistent and insistent, and you demonstrate that you do know that this is the antidote, this is the power that overcomes you, you do not have more power than the name of Jesus that I'm bringing against you, and I'm telling you, you have to leave this place. You have to leave this person alone. And you see, eventually, the demon just gives up. Hallelujah. But I tell you, even something that will fight demons even more than your prayers is the word of God in the person. Do you understand? You see, when you are praying for someone, you are like someone who is bringing the spray to fight the demons for someone. When the word is in someone, it is like the person has applied off to their skin. Do you know off? You know the thing called off? Yeah. When the off is on your skin, you don't need to bring some external spray to spray demons away from the place. The demons just know, by virtue of your understanding and your knowledge of the word of God, this is not a place to settle. It's not going to work. Hallelujah. That is why Christians need to get into the Word. Do you understand? That's why Christians need to get into the Word. But most Christians like the second version. They like to go for someone to pray for them all the time. Someone to pray for them. Someone to pray for them. You see, which is okay. It also works. But then what happens is that if the demons are good at dodging, do you understand? If they're able to deceive you, they're able to trick you, and they're able to trick your ability to recognize and identify them. You see, a lot of people get prayed for all the time and go back and still are dominated by evil spirits in many different ways. Because it's not in them. It's in someone else. The demons are responsible. So, for example, you can even be in a place where the spray is there. But when you leave that place, you realize that you are now vulnerable. Do you understand what I'm saying? If we applied mosquito spray to this place, as long as you're in this room, they may not bite you. But what about when you go out? But when you have off on your skin, when you go out, it goes with you. Do you understand? So it doesn't matter where you are. The same conditions exist that demons cannot settle on you because there's something on you or in you that makes it impossible for demons to attack you. Hallelujah. I tell you, I'm being blessed by this thing I'm sharing with you. Hallelujah. Right, let me just finish this passage and then we just go home. Amen. Right, so he said, O faithless generation. He said, I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out. And they could not. See, the man told the disciples, please, it's a devil, cast him out. You know, and they could not. And he answereth him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Then he said, bring him to me. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straight away, the spirit tear him. Do you see? So you can see, a spirit is making the man act funny. Do you see? The spirit tear him. And fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oft times it has cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Then Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou deaf, dumb, and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. Isn't that an important instruction? Yeah, because Jesus knew exactly what the demon would seek to do right after this. Come out of him and try to get back into him. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, come out of him and try to get back into him. So he said, come out of him and enter no more into him. Hallelujah. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Hallelujah. Said, so this kind can come off by nothing but by prayer and fasting. So if you read on, I mean, I'm sure you can read in your books, you see that, you know, demons, you know, have all sorts of, they make people scream, they make people roll on the ground, you know. Acts chapter 8 and verse 5, it says, Philip went down to Samaria and so on. The people with one accord gave heed to those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits crying with loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them, and so on. So they cause physical changes in people. Hallelujah. Then you read on and you see that demons also seem to influence lifestyles. you know, which is all related to the physical. You know, living deliciously. Do you see? A lot of time blowing and wasting of money, you know, in the name of having fun. You see, a lot of what people call having fun in today's world is just demon-inspired living. Do you see? And you can tell by the effect of that. Hallelujah. And then you see also a lot of sexual activity. Do you understand? A human being is created with a natural desire and capacity to have sex. But when you have somebody who is into it so much to a certain point, now you can see the demons, just like they join themselves to the guy's strength. Do you understand? Demons have added themselves to that. Wow. I mean, having sex even with people they don't know. I mean, so many people don't know, a certain number of them. You know, all of that is just inspired by demons. Hallelujah. There are physical changes that demons cause in people, and we need to be aware of them in order to be able to fight them, when recognize them, and be able to resist and overcome them in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So read the rest of the chapter when you go home, but I believe that you will be blessed by that chapter. Amen. God bless you. Stand to your feet and let's bring the service to a close. Hallelujah. Right, just bow your heads, everybody, and just begin to pray in the Holy Spirit and thank the Lord for today. Thank Him for what you have learned from today's service. Thank Him for... thank Him for opening your eyes even further to the activities of spirits. Evil spirits. And declare yourself free of evil spirits. Jesus said, you will know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. You will know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Thank you, Jesus, for the truth of your word. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing in the name of Jesus. As we close the service, if you want to give your life to Jesus today, there's an opportunity to do so. You know in your heart that you're not born again, that Jesus is not the Lord of your life, and you want to do that today, or you want to rededicate your life to Jesus today, I want you to raise up your right hand and I'll pray with you. Is there anybody here today who wants to rededicate your life to Jesus, or to take more seriously your relationship with Christ? You want to be a more serious Christian. You want to be a more committed and dedicated Christian. You want to be one of those who is settled in the house of God. You don't want to be one of those who struggles, who cannot abide in any house. But you want to be one of those who is settled in the house of God. If you want Jesus to be Lord over your life, you want to have that depth of commitment in Him, I want you to raise up your right hand and I'll pray with you. Is there anyone here like that today? Thank you, Jesus. Why don't we all just say this prayer together? Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying for me. I believe with my heart that you are Lord. And I confess with my mouth, God raised you from the dead. Come into my heart. Forgive my sins, Lord Jesus. Cleanse me from unrighteousness, Lord. And make me a child of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing my prayer. Amen.